brands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire, Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Sirius XM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and I just had to... Is the microphone? Yeah, there it is. I just have to run downstairs to get my charger because the computer is just about ready to kick. And oh, hold on. There we go. There's James. I think I got James there. James, there we go. Tina's down there with Spencer and my brother who was obviously here, he headed out. Right. I grabbed a couple slices of turkey.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what, there's a hot turkey sandwich with my name on it downstairs. James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
We're good. How was Thanksgiving?
It was really good. It was, it was just five of us, my wife, Gigi, and my mom, and two sisters, but we had a great time, great afternoon.
Sweet. Well, leaves us with lots of weekend action, and talked to Marty, we talked to Shap. Now it's your turn, and before we do anything else, nobody wants to give suggestions on the future wager. Give us your thoughts. You're always shopping for prices.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to do a little bit. I mean, one thing I'm going to do is just they have the only sire future wager this weekend, and I'm going to bet a few bucks on Curlin. I just think, he's had two Kentucky Derby runner-ups. He had three winners of the Breeders' Cup. He's listed at 60-1 on the morning line because he doesn't really have, a two-year-old male now that anybody can attach to. But I feel like there's a chance some will come along, and he's just, it wouldn't surprise me if he finally threw a Derby winner. So, I don't mind throwing a couple bucks at that sire wager. And, Curlin's one that I'll at least have a couple bucks on.
It's funny. I brought Curlin up with KK the other day. And just the fact that there isn't an obvious Curlin on the existing, second round of wager when it comes to the individual horses, that may play in his favor to get a decent number. I mean, because I agree with you that there's every opportunity for a Curlin to bubble to the surface.
Yeah, absolutely. And we he had the strong 3-year-olds last year. None of them his best 3-year-old performer was probably, Nest, a filly, but it's not like he doesn't throw good 2-year-olds at 3-year-olds. And, right now his best 2-year-old is probably a filly, but like I said, it's still early.
There you go. All right. Let's turn our attention to the weekend and get some opinions, because today's card, I don't know if you want to give your Friday push early, but it's kind of a unique opportunity to have a day like this, the Clark in particular. So give us some Friday thoughts.
Yeah, I'll, to me with the Clark, it's a race whereby, you just look at the field in there, and if number two, to me, Trademark, doesn't show some speed, I mean, he's shown some speed before, but it just looks like West Willpower just is eligible to have everything his own way on the front end.
Well, it gets even more front end positive because Trademark's coming out, James.
Oh, he is? Okay. Yeah. I did not even know that. I mean, I was in, you know, I think if there had been a little bit more pace in this race, perhaps, you know, I am a little bit intrigued by Proxy because he did run well here twice this summer and running third last time in the Steve Foster. And he ran last year off a layoff. He ran such a big race, you know, looked really good, went an allowance, earlier this year off of a layoff coming back. And, you know, since that Stephen Foster, it just seems like Stidham's been pointing, this 4-year-old son of Caput to this race and trying to get him a grade one before he goes to stud. And I do think he has some things going for him, but just the way the pet race is going to set up, I do think West Will Power is going to leave wire to wire.
That seemed to me to be a distinct possibility. All right. So WP, we got it for James.
Oh, well, I got one more, too.
Go ahead.
They got that Mrs. Revere Stakes. Now, this is a race where I like a little bit of a, I don't know if she's going to be 8-1 on the morning on the tote board, but number 7, Lovely Princess. I really thought she'd beat a nice one last time out. That personal best, she ran against her on October 27th at Keeneland. That personal best looks like a stakes filly to me for Shug McGahee. She came back and romped next time out by 5 lengths at odds on at Aqueduct in an allowance race. And I just thought Lovely Princess really took basically, she broke her maiden this summer at Ellis. Her next start was at a 1.516 distance on turf, and she didn't run a bad fourth that day at Kentucky Downs. I'm not counting that dirt race against her. I thought her last race was just another step in a positive progression. And like I said, I thought that was a really classy effort because the runner-up was pretty good.
You and Shap both landing on Lovely Princess.
All right. It's a good company there.
All right.
I'll give out some horses on Saturday's program.
Yeah.
One horse that I definitely, early on the card, race number 4 is a maiden special weight race. And I like number 11, Baba. She's 7-2 on the morning line and got away slow. And she got away slow in her debut and never fired. She worked really well, I thought, between her first and second starts. Took a step forward last time. Didn't get away from didn't break promptly. You know, took a little bit of a hesitant step out of the gate, but then quickly showed speed, surged a clear lead on the far turn, and got nailed late. But just not much. None of the firsters in this main special eight looked precocious to me, Steve. I don't think there's much pace in the race. And the two horses that are eligible to take money, number 10, Bruno Nabuan, I think his number was inflated by that sloppy track in his debut. And number 12, Poblano, vulnerable to me. So I really like Baba. I'm going to key her in some early multi-race bets and play her to win at the odds are right in race number 4.
Interesting. Saez for Cherie. And nobody seems that interested in the big name pedigrees, eh? The Fipke or the Beholder sibling.
I know. Yeah, that's there's going to be those horses. You know, we're going to take some money though, so it's a good spot, I think, if you have a strong opinion in that big special weight to fire at it. And then I'll give some thoughts on the two stakes, the two grade two races in the Goldenrod. You know, I love Hoosier Philly's maiden win. I thought, I know they entered her in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, and she was on the AE list and couldn't get in the race, and they had to scratch out by Rice and Riches, but I think she could have been a factor in that race. Maybe not Deep Wonder again, but could have hit the board at least. I really thought she'd take a step forward, going two turns in that Rags to Riches. She's going to be an odds-on favorite. And the way I look at this Goldenrod, I'm not keen on the second choice, Pretty Mischievous. I think the third choice, American Rock Cat, is it's not like a safe, you know, I don't like her second best at all either in the race. I'm going to play two straight exactas. I'm going to play Hoosier Filly over number 5, Black Forest. He's listed at 20-1 on the morning line off of a front running win at Keeneland on the Breeders' Cup Friday program. Got a good speed thing for that, doing it in commanding fashion. And I think she's, you know, she's eligible to take to the mile and 16th distance and hold for second. The other one I use is number 6, Knock Your Socks Off, who's also a big price off of a runner-up effort in the Jessamine. And I think either one of those two can fill that Zactus spot, give me a little bit of a value in straight Zactus. So I'll probably, like, for example, play two $20 Zactus, 4-5, 4-6, try to make a little money on an odds-on favorite.
There you go. That's how you do it. 4/5, 6 for James in the Goldenrod, and a little bit more intrigue in the Kentucky Jockey Club, it seems.
Yeah, no, a little intrigue. You know, it just doesn't, like, you know, I mean, these horses could go on could prove me wrong, but just doesn't look like that tough a field in here. Curly Jack, I just don't like the fact Curly Jack got a 93% speed rating, 3 starts back, and hasn't run back to that number in his last 2 starts. I wound up landing, Steve, on number 6, Freedom Trail, who was run first time on turf, going long in Aqueduct, got up to win, like, in the final jumps, like, by head at 13-1. I thought he took a big step forward in the wad. I thought he was much more professional that day, winning by about a length. And, you know, he's by Collected, first crop of Collected, who, you know, won the Pacific Classic. His dam, Freedom Trails Dam, is a half-sister to Opportunity, who won the Clark and tons of graded races on the dirt, was a dirt horse. And her other sister is multiple grade one winning dirt juvenile winner Executive Privilege. So to me, his pedigree is built for the dirt on both sides of it. And we see turf horses take to the dirt Churchill quite a lot. And if he does, I think he's got a big shot to win the Kentucky Jockey Club.
All right. What else?
And that's pretty much all I got for you today.
All right. Well, that's enough, I guess. That's right. Are you on the air today? Is that why you had to come in?
I am on the air.
All right, cool.
I'm on. Yeah, I'll be down in the paddock working today with Joe Christofix, Scott Shapiro, and Caitlin Free. So I've got a 4-person team.
Excellent. All right. Enjoy, and big closing weekend at Sunday, the Commonwealth, the feature, and what are you going to focus on this winter, do you expect?
Well, you know, I mean, it's just with the, I mean, we've got Oaklawn and, you know, coming up here soon, and going to have Gulfstream. I'm definitely going to pay a lot of attention to those tracks in December. You know, it's pretty typical for me. I'm going to try to take, looks like that Turfway. I thought the Turfway got better horses last year. It might get some good horses this winter as well. So I'll be paying a little bit of attention to Turfway as well in the coming months.
Now, yeah, that's the intrigue. And Marty was talking about who's staying around and keeping horses at over at Trackside. It should be very interesting. A lot of people get flummoxed when it comes to the action at Turfway, and I know I've said this the last winter or two, but I think you got to start tracking it right away. And
watch how Gerardo, Corrales rides early on, because he can get hot there.
Big time. Big time. All right, James, I appreciate it, and be watching later today and through the weekend. Good luck. Talk next week.
All right, thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend.
James _ Scully, 111 on your Twitter, and, of course, in the pages of Twin Spires and Briz on the blog roll as well. All right. We got 13. We got Hammer, we got Dave Hill, and we got Popo. So let me get to Hammer and talk to him about his holiday. We had a nice visit pre-holiday off air. So let's see what he's got to say. And we'll go. We'll look at Del Mar too. We haven't had a chance. Steve Anderson was in the car, and he didn't want to. He was on his way down to Oceanside, so he couldn't. And I think Steve. I think Steve might be alone this weekend because I didn't see a. I didn't see that Brad had a bye line this this week, so I think Steve Anderson may have been on his own. So couldn't get to Steve Anderson, and having trouble catching Hammer so far. All right, well then, in that case, this should be fun. and I don't know if he has Sirius XM in the car, and if he's been listening to see when exactly we would be calling on Dave Hill, but here we go, and reaching into the family truckster as the Hill family makes their way back from Hot Springs. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound great.
Yeah, we are in the family truckster.
How many? I should know how many Little Hills there are. I want to say four.
No, there's three.
Three. Okay. Well, how did they like the trek to Grandma's house? They went.
I don't think they liked to drive that much, but they really had a nice time at Grandma's down in Arkansas, as they always do. For a lot of tears shed last night. Anticipation of us coming back to New York.
Oh, well, and I said to you this morning that I sort of had a feeling you'd have to turn right around and you know, that's a big drive for what? How many days were you there?
Oh, we were there for like 5 days.
That's not bad. Okay. All right. That's enough. All right.
Well, I mean, look, it's that or five plane tickets, man. In this economy.
Well, you certainly, it's not as if you haven't been hitting with alacrity. You went 9-3 again, and so all of a sudden you've put a little bit of a cushion between the losses and the wins. You're 11 games over 500.
Well, I think I went 9-2-1, didn't I?
The paper says 9-3-1, but I... That...
Oh, 9-3-1, right, 9-3-1. Yeah, well, it was a good week. It was, there was one game that I felt like I got a little bit unlucky in, but, it was a good week. The numbers held up for me this week.
Well, and, you know, that's your overall record. For our listeners, and I've got all the sheets here, so I should add up for our listeners, but you've got to be... You're 11 games over with every game selected in the paper, but for our listeners, you're more like 16 or 18 above 500.
Yeah, and I'd be curious to hear those numbers too, because I haven't been keeping good track of what all I've been giving you guys. But, you know, the key there is that, the paper makes me pick every game, but I don't. Only a psychopath would bet every game every week, and I, tend to give you guys the games where I think I see the most value in terms of the numbers that I come up with and what the spread's at. So I'm glad that the numbers look a lot better, and I think it just speaks to how tight some of these games are week to week that I have to pick, even though it feels like it really could go either way.
Well, and we didn't get together yesterday, and it seemed like you wanted to make the New England Minnesota game your prime game. You went 1-1 earlier in the day with the Lions. You promised a cover on the Lions, and you got it. And actually, you got victimized the last 120 seconds in the Giant-Dallas game.
Yeah, I mean, I really would rather not talk about it. I'm still I don't think I'm fully recovered. It was one of the worst backdoor covers of the season. It wasn't just a backdoor cover on the spread. It was also on the total. So that last touchdown just changed everybody's bets. I don't know. I can only imagine what it must have looked like in Vegas at the sports book, where where all the guys who were, crying in their beers suddenly were cheering, and everybody who was already counting
you know, licking their chops and counting the money, were headed to the headed to the Barstool, because it was pretty wild. But I kind of had a feeling once they missed the field goal, I thought that he was coming. I was right. My spidey sense was tingling that there might be a backdoor cover in store.
And that's exactly what happened.
That's what happens. Sometimes I pick games. I got one this week where I feel like I'm picking it because I think the backdoor cover's a possibility, you know? And usually with these big spreads, that's what happens. I mean, it's rare this season that I've laid, you know, that many points, you know, 9.5 points. I don't think I've laid 9.5 points very often this season. So I felt really good about that Cowboys team matching up with the Giants. But, you know, and then what will happen is I'll pick the team I picked this week to get a backdoor cover. We'll just get their faces stomped in. So I'll catch them both ends, I guess. But what? That's the thing about betting the NFL, you know, where you get to score 6 points on a touchdown. Sometimes these spreads feel bigger than they really are.
Well, and there's been, it's funny you put it that way. I mean, there's some movement from what I can tell, and this was an unusual week, right? When did you have to get the column in?
On Tuesday.
Ugh. Well, that only complicates things. You know, for instance, I see you took Tennessee with 1.5, and now the line has gotten even bigger. It's up to 3.5. And the opposite happened. I take that back. The same thing happened to the Jets line, where you're laying the 4.5 for the Bears, and that line actually has gone in your favor.
Yeah, I mean, that line is very interesting because it's a little bit disrespectful to Zach Wilson. I mean, I picked that game, and Zach's not—he hadn't been benched yet. And so it's fascinating that the market, when the starting quarterback is announced that he's out, decides that that team is now going to do worse, right? It's usually the opposite, that the market thinks that a backup quarterback is going to – that a starting quarterback is worth a lot more of the spread than the backup. But obviously there's no love for Zach Wilson in the betting markets. You know, sharp money clearly favors – the Bears, I mean, favors the Jets more in a situation without Zach Wilson than they did in the situation with him. So,
well, speaking of some points, and I don't know if it's disrespect, but I'm just noticing the 15 points that you're taking with the Rams. Is that the biggest line of the season?
Yeah, and I think it might be 16 some places this morning. Because I checked it before I got in the car, and I think it's as high as 16. That has to be the biggest line of the season, and I think it might be too big. I mean, part of the problem is that Matt Stafford is now ruled out for this game, and they've lost Cooper Kupp. And those two guys were responsible for over 80% of Los Angeles' offense this season. I mean, that's the whole team right there. But all the same, I just think it's such a big price. It's such a big number to give any team, you know. I've taken the points there, and I don't love it. Because I am in love with this Kansas City team, and I think that they're, you know, world beaters. And I think the Rams are definitely done for the season. But starting a game with a 16 point head start is such an advantage in the NFL, even for a really bad team. So it's hard. If I have to pick that game, I'm going to pick the dog in that game, but I don't love it. So I wouldn't make that anybody's best bet of the week.
Well, there's actually another big number as well this week, and you have been consistent in reaching for, you know, some double digits. I'm just noticing, Dave, because I had only looked at the results from yesterday. Now I'm seeing some of the picks, and you take Houston with 13, and in fact, this week, you've basically gravitated to a lot of your favorite pets.
Well, that's the game I was talking about. I think that Houston is a backdoor cover candidate here because I think, well, wait, maybe not. Maybe it might be New Orleans, one of those two teams, but I think probably Houston. Miami's facing San Francisco next week, I believe, right? So Miami's got some tough games ahead of them, and And this is a game that they're essentially going to be able to score at will against Houston. So I could definitely see McDaniel sitting players, you know, taking an easy play conservatively in a game that they're definitely going to win. And that's just a recipe in the fourth quarter for the Houston Texans, who are starting a new quarterback this week, who is, you know, kind of, in a sense, auditioning not just for a starting job at Houston, but to anywhere next season, because who knows who Houston ends up drafting with the number one pick that they're gunning for here. So I think there's a scenario here, there's a play where you've got a Miami team who's trying to take it easy, and you've got a quarterback in Houston who's trying to show off a little bit, you know, a rookie running back who wants to run up his numbers. So you can see Houston scoring a touchdown, maybe 10 points in a fourth quarter here, and getting over that 14-point hump. So that's my logic behind the Houston pick here.
Which is plenty logical. You won't refer to it as a trap game as a potential loss, but a trap game as a failure to cover makes perfect sense. When I refer to your pets, Jacksonville, Carolina, New Orleans, you're going to a lot of your standbys.
Well, I mean, all it really says is underdogs have done this season.
Yep.
Season than usual.
Dave, hold on a second. You're in a little bit of a bad spot. Try that again about the underdogs. No, this maybe is a bad spot. No. Dave, you with us? No, he's in a bad spot. This is tough. All right. There you go. You might be back. No.
What bar?
No, well, yeah, where are you?
I'm on I-40 in the middle of Tennessee somewhere.
Oh, wow. So you're rolling along.
Yeah, we got up pretty early today.
I like it. All right. If you need, you know, if you need any dining pushes along the way, I'll send you a couple.
Okay.
Go ahead about the underdogs.
I was saying the underdogs have been doing well this season.
Yeah.
And that's because they've probably been getting too many points early in the season. Now as the season's gotten later, they're actually getting more points because I think people are overreacting to some of the recent games that they've seen, and they're looking at games as being bigger mismatches than they really are. So I think that's what we're seeing now is a little bit of overreactions on the good teams. So we're getting some good prices.
Well, I sort of was directing you into some selections, but identify the prime plays for our audience.
Well, I mean, I think this Tennessee game, the line moved against me from the other day, which ordinarily is a bad sign. Like, I don't like to be on the wrong side of the market early, right? That to have sort of bad closing line value. But I still like it. This is one where I think I'm just going to be a bit of a contrarian and say the market's wrong if they're giving Tennessee more points, because I think Tennessee can beat Cincinnati straight up. I really think Tennessee is a sleeper team here, and they're really coming into their own late in the season. And so 3.5 points at home against the Bengals, I think that's definitely my favorite play this week. And I say that with some trepidation because, like I said, it's typically not good to be on the wrong side of where the market's moving, but that doesn't mean that it isn't always, you know, the market's sometimes wrong, right? So I'm hoping that this is one where they are.
There you go. All right. So Tennessee, one of the prime plays. What else?
Well, I already talked about Houston and my sort of logic behind that one.
All right.
I think that's worth a bet. Houston's worth a bet. And then this Atlanta and Washington game, Atlanta's getting 3.5 points, I think.
4.5.
And 4.5. Oh, see, well, this is another example of where I'm on the wrong side of the market, but I do think that Atlanta has a lot to play for. I mean, both of these teams are in playoff contention, and while Washington's looked good their last couple of games, and Atlanta's sort of been trying to figure it out, They're Atlanta is definitely in the hunt. They're right behind Tampa Bay. They can't afford to give up games, so they're going to play hard. So giving that team 4.5 points, I think, is a pretty good crutch to give them in this game where they might be pretty evenly matched with Washington. So I think Atlanta taking the points of Atlanta on the road is a good one.
I like it. So Tennessee, Houston, Atlanta, and then on the flip side, 4 o'clock games or Jacksonville, Carolina?
I like Arizona as a home dog here.
Nice. Getting 5.
Yeah. And again, I think, Kyler Murray's in. Now, if Kyler Murray wasn't in the game, I would second guess this. So I think people should watch and see what decisions are made there. But the last report I saw said that they're planning to start Kyler Murray. And I think that Murray's worth a lot to this team. And they've been able to hold it together without him. But, Hopkins has just been really showing out. And I think getting Kyler Murray back, I think you'll see this team return back to sort of their better form. I guess a Chargers team that I think is incredibly beatable. It has really shown a lot of wear and tear and a lot of, cracks in their armor, especially last week. So, people still are in love with Justin Herbert, and I understand that, but the team is banged up, and they're the most banged up team in the league. So Arizona, one of the things that people say about Arizona is that they have the worst home field advantage. Their team plays worse at home than they do on the road.
Right.
I think that's just maybe a trend, you know what I mean? Like a fluke of this past season. But I think Arizona getting points at home with Kyler coming back, is a good bet. So that's those are my four best plays.
Very
They're
good.
All underdogs.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, taking points. And actually the line moved in your favor. Cause the sheet that I use for you, ends up, right now it's a 3.5, so you did get 5. People might not be able to get that around the market.
Yeah, I see. So the market's going in our direction.
Yeah.
The money's moving out in Arizona, which is a good sign. But yeah, on Tuesday they were at 5, so now they're at 3.5. So there you go. That shows you where the markets sort of agree with us here. I still like them at 3.5. My numbers show Arizona winning the game outright by 2.5. So I think that it's still... Any points you can get on this game is worth taking up until they kick off.
All right, so just we'll go with the 4.
Yeah, I mean, if you want, I mean, I know you like to talk about the prime time games. I don't love these games.
Well, it may not matter because you're breaking up on us. That's a sign, Dave. It's a sign from the Almighty that. Not to pick the primetime games because you broke up. Dave, I'm going to let Dave go. Dave Hill, everybody, of course, in the New York Times. I'll send out the column, and we'll catch up with Dave next week. Safe travels to all the hills back to New York. And that was great. I'm glad we got a chance to catch up. And I think Hammer is ready for us now as well. Hammer's, what are you telling me? You're telling me to use the backup phone. Interesting. Okay. So Hammer's saying, Hammer walks around with 2 phones. That's how he tapes. That's how those great videos he does with the music. That's how he does it. He plays the music on one phone and overlays it onto his videos. It's very clever how Hammer does that. Because I've tried to do it myself. I'm telling people how you got the 2 phones all the time and how you do those great videos with the music.
It's the only way to do it. I'm no editor, so I don't know how to put that stuff in later. So I play the music on one and while we film on the other. I've got it down and I can actually hold the both phones up and down with one hand and it's quite an art.
How was Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was so good that I tell you, if Heiser was here, they'd make me walk around the block before I got on the radio. You pulled up a little, you forget it's not just the food. It's not just the dinner. It's, my having a few pops during cooking and then, some ice cream and then some more ice cream and then a cookie or two. So, yeah, it was very good. What can I tell you?
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, it was a rare one. At the end of the day, or at the beginning of the day, everybody laid a lot of scratches coming. It was just the three of us. And I can't think of the last time we've been home for just the three of us for Thanksgiving. And it was kind of nice in one way, but just a little different. So you never know what we're up to for Thanksgiving. So that was something different. But like I said, it's a tough holiday to blow. And it was great. Football was good. And, you know, lots of stuff going on. You know, speaking of football or football, I've been kind of watching the World Cup. I haven't been that enthralled with it yet so far.
I hear you.
You know,
maybe today against England, maybe 1 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah,
time.
Yeah, that's coming up. And you know, I've learned to enjoy good soccer, watching good teams play. So I, you know, the scoring doesn't bother me. Obviously, like to have a little bit more, but I get the game a lot more than I did 10 years ago. So I understand how some of it works with the scoring, but I don't know, the play itself hasn't been that great, but it'll get up. The Portugal game yesterday was okay, so maybe we'll see some more, but we'll get her cranked up. But it's been and the weather here has been nice but a little chilly and windy, and this is the time we get the winds, and the Santa Ana winds necessarily are a little bit warmer. Winds that come along, these have not been, and just wind. I mean, yesterday was too windy to even go hiking. I mean, obviously you could go, but I've done it up in the passes where I go, and it's just, you got to put your head down and grind it up the hill, and it's no fun. So it's been really windy for really weeks, off and on. So a little different. We get the wind, but not in usually that long of patches. But today's nice, so maybe we'll get out and get a little hike in today. But other than that, can't complain too much about the weather. This is when all the other stuff that is wrong with California becomes right, as it's sunny and blue for the next couple months, because rain doesn't happen here. So most of the days are pretty nice. But I'll definitely I'll probably experience it more because I'll be here instead of not here. So.
The first order, you know, the intermediate order of business will be together. What next week?
The first intermediate order is to go to Arizona, and guess what? I had to get up and look at the calendar. I go, that's next weekend already.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll be into December, so that'll be good. You know, like the weather won't be too bad there either. I'm sure in the 70s. Short sleeve weather there. So we'll be there for three, 4 days. And then I got a little Vegas run in the middle, and then it's off to Kentucky, Lexington for the graded stakes. So, committee. So I'm starting to get into that mode. You really have to, it takes a couple weeks to filter through the information, and the books will be here on Wednesday. And, it's 500 races to review and a couple day, going over them. So it's there's always something going on if you want it to be.
That's for sure. Well, there's something going on at Del Mar today, tomorrow, Sunday, and this Hollywood Turf Festival. Today's Turf Cup, awfully good and well worth.
Well, I'm going to put up the flag on that one. I don't think it's awfully good.
No? So why not?
No, I say that from a – I said I'm getting into graded stakes mode, And I look at races a little differently sometimes, and not just for their competitiveness, but who's in them. And, if they stand up to their grade, and there's a few races this weekend around that do not. I mean, this is a grade 2 mile-and-a-half race, and there's not a graded winner in the bunch. Every one of these is an allowance type horse. And I don't,
I hear you. I'm just realizing what I've got in front of me actually is
Saturday.
Yeah, is the Seabiscuit. Yeah, I'm looking at the Seabiscuit.
That's a different story. That's a very good competitive race with some graded type horses in it. But this the race today, the Hollywood Turf Cup, there's 7 of them going 1.5 miles, and like I said, they're all eligible for allowance conditions. And it's odd because it's you know, the best ones obviously went east, but normally there's enough of them to go around with the turf festival. California is turning a little bit into turf, leaning a little bit turf, which is not a bad thing. And you know, I kind of said it last week in jest, but it, you know, with what's going on, I just read that the fairgrounds is going to have turf until the end of December. And, you know, hopefully that gets better then, but it's probably not a bad time to think about sending a few horses out here for the Santa Anita meet on their turf. I mean, it's one thing about that, you know, knock on wood, they do have a really, really good turf course with some different options with the down the hill and now the straight, you know, 5 and 6 furlong races on the flat. And so, you know, they're going to be offering a lot of turf racing out here. So it wouldn't be a bad spot to send 15 or 20 if you're looking to run on the turf in the winter. So that's just what I was thinking all of a sudden. That's my racing thing coming into head. Where would I go if I had some turf horses right now? So this Turf Cup today going 1.5 miles. And, you know, I think we all do this kind of the same thing. We look for a horse that can maybe sneak off to the lead and just, you know, get forgetful out there on the front end. And next thing you know, they're gone. You know, I don't really see. I mean, it looks like Go On, which is a horse from Leandro Moro, is taking over for Doug O'Neill for the next couple of weeks. This horse looks like he had the most speed on the program here. Hasn't been 1.5 miles. You know, sometimes they can stretch it a little bit. 1.5 miles is asking a little bit too much, but a tough group to handicap. I mean, I went with the D'Amato horses because he seems to be the king of the turf out here. Cash Equity, the 2-horse, and he's got the 6 in here, Prince Obama, and Grand Motion, who did ship. He took advantage of that situation. I think he shipped 8 to 10 horses out here and has done very well, as he usually does when he comes here. He's got the Grey Wizard, who's eligible actually for the first condition, but did run 2nd behind Nation's Pride in the Jockey Club Derby out there. So, you know, interestingly enough. So, like I said, not the best run of this. And, you know, these are some type of races. You know, when we grade these, we look at them. But the older horses, like if some of these were to eventually grow into some graded stake winners, then they'll get their points that way. But going in, not a really classy bunch in the race today for that. Also today, there's an interesting, in the 8th race, there's a 2-year-old race. Those are always interesting out here going long. John Cheris has a horse in there called Eastbound, a good magic colt that looks good coming in, looks like coming off the turf on a stretch out. But John's very good at that. He places his horses very well. And, of course, you have Bob Baffert on the rail with Reincarnate to watch out for. But take a look at that race, too. Could be interesting, you know, somebody for the future coming out of there. And then tomorrow, you mentioned tomorrow, Saturday, kind of cranking things up a little bit. You know, there was a little shot about heading down there tomorrow. But next Saturday looks better with the Hollywood Derby looking at us. But the Seabiscuit, you mentioned the Seabiscuit. Now this is a grade two. Santine's in there. You know, I think both of us, we've kind of followed this horse around since he broke through on Derby Day, and just kind of seems to run every time he runs. It's coming out of 4 straight grade ones, dropping down a little bit. This race is 1.16 miles. He's never run or won there, but he is tough. I don't have the odds here. I printed the early edition. My Master of Foxhounds got his win last time going 1.25 miles. And interestingly enough, opts for here. Not sure this is far enough for him. Hong Kong Harry, a Phil D'Amato charge, won the Del Mar Mile as the favorite last time. A couple of nice horses in here. Smooth Like Straight. I love that name right off the bat. But I don't know. He didn't run his normal race. He did get dogged early for the most of the race in the Breeders' Cup, but he likes to kind of free flow it up there on the front. Maybe this drop in class will move him up a little bit. And then there's a horse in here that could be a bit of a price. Iridio, however you want to call it, from Marcel Polanco.
Right, Iridio.
Iridio ran 2nd, you know, ran you know, ran a sneaky second in that Del Mar Mile, and I don't know, he won the Wicker earlier, and he's going to be, I don't know what his price is on the program, but he's going to ease on up there. There's some other ones in here. So this one could be a shot at a little bit of a price. We got Marcelo's name out there in the Breeders' Cup this last couple of weeks. So he doesn't have a whole lot of horses, but he does well with the few that he has. So, you know, I wrote what numbers did I write down? I wrote down 184 in here. With Iridio, the 7 being the long shot in there. But, yeah, racing continues at Del Mar. And like I mentioned last week, if you're looking to get away, especially for around here, and you've never been to Del Mar, never spent time at Del Mar, you know, it's a great time to go. The weather's always nice, but it's nicer when there's less people. So there's that down there. So do that. Think about that. And we got to get this in before it gets too late today. And of course, we're going to announce today, Steve, right? The calendars. I think we've got the calendar giveaway guidelines coming at you right now. So get a pencil out. And this year, as we have been talking about for a few months, thanks to Kentucky Downs, the people there, you know, it's just a great bunch to work with and work for. Ron Winchell and Mark Falcone and Ted, Tyler, just a great bunch. But they have stepped up and offered to continue the calendar giveaway. So here's what we're doing. Here's what we've come up with for this year. Very simple. You're going to send with your name and address a photo of one of two things, either a concert that you were at or a sporting event that you were at. And it doesn't have to be horse racing, but, you know, concert, the older, the better, or the more unique, the better, you know, unique venue, unique band, unique, sporting event. But, yeah, send in one of those, little story to go with it. And here's where you're going to send it. You got, you know, just put in there, and please put calendar in the subject line. That way I know it's real and it's not a, you know, spam or something. So you're going to send it to Kentucky Downs calendar at yahoo.com. So you can spell out Kentucky or you can KY it. So it's either Kentucky Downs calendar at Yahoo or KY Downs calendar at Yahoo. And you can start sending them in today, right now. So get the photo ready. Get the address ready. And if you don't want it posted, tell me, because we usually find a spot to post them all. And, sometimes they're interesting to check out. So if you don't want to post it, let me know. Otherwise, think that it's probably going to show up somewhere on social media, probably Twitter. So, this is, it's a fun time of year. For us and for me, and getting to do this stuff and kind of reacquaint, and you know, it's pretty crazy, Steve. After all these years, I think the 1 year I tracked it, we got requests from 31 different states, and at some times, what's really even sicker, you'll see someone's name, and I'll go, oh, I know this guy lives in Peoria, Illinois, or hey, this guy's from Wyoming. you get a lot of return. People, and it's great to hear the stories, and thanks to Steve and Kentucky Downs, we'll get this thing going. So we get that officially started. We'll touch on it each week, but we do have a cutoff. I don't know exactly what the number is, so it's the old early bird gets the worm. So get them out and get your pictures in, and we'll get you a Kentucky Downs calendar. So wanted to talk about that for sure. What else we got? You mentioned, a couple of Kentucky Downs, Churchill Downs races. And I listened to some of those guys and I'm going, oh boy, I'm going to bury another horse. But here's the Miss Revere, and comes up as a Grade 2. And once again, I look at it as that. And you know what? There is not a greatest stake winner in 2022 in this race. So another, you know, I get into that mode and I see races that, you know, at least on going in, you know, aren't up to their grade. We make notes of it, and that's what we talk about in our meetings. And, you know, it's going to get to a point where, you know, there's, as the population sinks a little bit, we're going to, you know, just naturally have to, some of these races just don't have the horses left, especially after the Breeders' Cup. Was it 3 weeks ago already? Coming back. So the better ones obviously go there, especially ones that were in Kentucky. And, you know, there's some allowance type horses in here. But I had, you know, after last night spending some time, I had 7, 10, 4. And of course, 7, I heard Scully, and Shapiro did too. Scotty, did he pick them too?
Yeah.
But I love that. This is all one of those, usually those sneaky McPeak, Brian Hernandez, they just kind of, you know, sneak their way into the race. And then after the race is over, you look down and you go, $17. Why didn't I have that one? And this just has the look of a horse like that. California Angel, I mean, obviously, 2-1, run well in some graded stakes. You've got B2 lengths in the QE2, ran in the Valley View, you know, other races that are okay. You know, 2-10, hasn't won this year. Hard to take 2-1. So this is a type of race with, you know, that you want to kind of, I think, look for a bit of a price. And then we get to the Clark. Man, you said, did you say who was coming out? Trademark was coming out?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a six-pack here. And once again, as a grade one, you know, there's one grade one winner in here, Rich Strike, and then not a lot of other grade one competitors. We'd love to all, I know, I don't want to say all, but I'd sure like to see Rich Strike get back in the win column. He's at his favorite racetrack, of course. I mean, he stands out in numbers. The only thing that you guys have mentioned is the style. How far back is he going to have to be? You know, West Will Power, as commented by everybody, I mean, you got to look at him. He's headed in the right direction. He's, you know, he run his best race. There's four of them. There's three of them coming out of the Fayette, the 1-2-3. And I'll tell you what, we've seen it time and time again. A horse like Last Samurai, when you least expect it, you know, used to be trained by Dallas Stewart. And now Wayne Lucas has him, but this is his horse that when you least expect it, he goes off at 10, 15-1, fires a big one. And he could in here, but, you know, I think like most of us, Westwell Power, if he just kind of duplicates the last one, I don't see a change. He went so commandingly, and he's run basically against the same field. And if Rich Strike just gets too far back there, I mean, I can see him making a late run, but I don't know. I hope he wins, but I don't, possibly not.
Pace-wise, it seems like it's a challenge, but he stayed close to Lucas, and if it wasn't for, you know, the antics of Leon, they very well might have won. So it should be good today.
Should be good. The two-year-old races come up good the next day, of course, and I've been, you know, checking out two-year-olds. You look at who's her filly in the Goldenrod and Tom Amos. I was just going over him, he pops up and wins just all over the place. Now, so I was going to ask you, like, if you had to guess, would you say Tom Amos is in the top 50 trainers of all time win wise?
Absolutely.
Would you say he's in the top 30?
You mean in terms of total wins?
Wins.
I kind of know about this, so you're asking the wrong guy.
I'm asking the wrong guy. So, well, you know, so if I ran into you at a bar, I'd probably lose then. But. Tom Amos is the 15th trainer all time in terms of wins right now. Mm-hmm. 1-5, 15. Pretty amazing. I mean, not amazing, but when you look at the list and you think, wow, you know, you've seen his name all over the place forever. But anyway, he's 15. So you don't get there by not winning races. And I know you got to get Popo going here, and we'll wrap it up. Glad everybody had a great day yesterday. And Steve, we'll talk next week pre-Arizona.
Kentucky Downs calendar at yahoo.com, KY Downs calendar, or Kentucky Downs calendar written out. And we're going to have fun seeing the sporting events and the concerts that people went to. Hammer, thanks. We'll talk next week.
Got it, Steve. Enjoy. See you at the races.
Rick Hammerly, everybody, away they go. And just only have about 5 for Popo, so let me get to him quickly, and we'll close out the week with the weekend preview, Twin Spires weekend preview. And I'm anxious to hear what, particularly for this Clark, because even with Trademark coming out, And I wonder how that's going to change things. But let's see what let's get a couple of pushes on the form to win front from Papo, assuming I can get Papo now. I hope it's not hope it's not too late. I don't think he told me. He didn't tell me that sometimes I'll get a note from him. Or no, maybe I did get a note from him that did he say? No, that was the other day that when he had. Yeah, it was last Friday that he had appointments. So, huh. All right. Let's see if we hear right back from Papo, because I have not done the form to win yet myself to see what the numbers, what those numbers say. The other, it's so concentrated on Churchill's 2-year-olds that I didn't do anything yet on the Del Mar 2-year-olds, and there very well could be a few to dive into. That's 6th tomorrow, for instance. These are the boys going 6.5. It's a group of 9. Baffert's got a couple of firsters barnstorming for Gary and Mary West, and this is one I may have to check with Sid. He's had a couple of gate works, 5-1 with Hernandez, and then Harlow Cap on the outside. This is a Justify that was a $400,000 Timonium purchase. I have to look into this one out of a Bodemeister mare. That for Villa Rosa Farm and Harlow Stable. And I think he's got one. There was one, I think he's got a third that ran. Yeah, Tex the Legend for the Earnhardts. This is another Justify. But Papa Padromo has got a pair in here. One for his man Bruce Kratz, a homebred American Pharaoh. And then one for Valiant Ranches, a Mendelsohn. Interesting. Out of a Stormy Atlantic mare. And the horse to beat very well may be the Hard Spun from Mark Glatt. Spun Intended. Edge Racing and Muir Hut. Spun Intended. 5-2. So that's a good looking. That looks like it's got the makings of something. And then, as I had mentioned with Hammer, that group in the Seabiscuit is very good. I will say, going back to the Hollywood Turf Cup, I did check with Steve Anderson as he was driving, and I said, "Do you have a best bet for the weekend?" And he said, "Prince Obama is who he likes." The 3-1. Second choice in the Hollywood Turf Cup today, 6:30 for the 7th. That's the 6-horse, Phil D'Amato with Flavian Pratt. Steve Anderson's best bet, Prince Obama. Dicey Moshera, the 5-2 favorite there, and Cash Equity for D'Amato. Third choice at 7-2. Gray Wizard in there, too, for Graham Motion. And there's another 2-year-old. That's the other 2-year-old race worth noting. They're going to go a mile. And Baffert's got that Reincarnate that seems to have trouble finishing, closing things out. But is the horse to beat on the rail, for sure. Now I see what happened. I mixed some of the Saturday Del Mar stuff in with the Friday. That's why I was looking at one thing, and it was, in fact, the other. All right, so I guess we're not going to get to Papo, but we will get some out for you. We will try to get out some form-to-win glances this morning. And I guess the only other thing, and I didn't get a chance to really dig into it, but you do have the Gray and the Mazarine tomorrow that look okay. The Mazarine... You got one goes early. Yeah, the one goes as the third and the other as the 10th tomorrow at Woodbine as their season begins to wind down. And, of course, they're wrapping up at Indy. And we'll get all of it tied up with a bow on Monday. Good luck if you're playing. I'll get some action up on the website in a little bit. And I will reconvene with you Monday. Thanks, everybody. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend. Appreciate it. Talk to you then.
The summertime song. Gold on the apple. Oh, there goes a Buick 49.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety.